Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Elliot Friedman joins us now. Elliot, are you in Miami this weekend?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale, yes. As a matter of fact, I was on the beach today. I was working on my tan, and
aren't you fancy?
Yes.
Jealous.
I look good.
How is the tan going? And so, Elliot, you know, when you're Canadian and you go back home, like, what kind of tan do you have to show off here to really make a difference?
The deepest, well, first of all, right now, in Canada, we're all pasty. It's like minus 30 Fahrenheit.
You're not showing a lot of skin these days.
That's right. No, we're not. Like, it's tough to show that tan underneath a giant winter parka. Like, that's for sure. Our weather was crappy right now. I was sending some pictures to my wife this morning, and she was just cursing me. So I might try to extend my trip.
Oh, Elliot, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I feel like at this point, with the Nashville Predators, we are almost at, like, a standstill. Like, they'll win a few games, and you might think, okay, well, we feel maybe okay about it. And they lose a few games, and it's like, oh, okay, we're back where we were. That's been the theme with this team all season long. One step forward, a couple steps back. 1 foot forward, a couple steps back. How should the fans feel about this team at this point coming out of the All-Star break?
Well, I think what you want to see is you know, Carolyn, we've talked about this before. I completely agree with you. What the Predators fans would want to see is, you know, they don't want to see you get close. They want to see you, like, actually get in for a couple of days. Like, I'm looking at the math right now. You know, like, Colorado, you guys have the same number of games, three fewer points. Like, that's the last team I worry about. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a nightmare for whoever they get. Colorado was just too good. You know, I think this. You know, you have to. Your math isn't great right now. You've got the same points, same games as Minnesota. You've got four less points. You have to go on a run. You can't just hang around there in ninth or tenth place like you are right now. You have to get in and show that you've got some staying power. And you know, the other thing too is, you know, we've talked a lot about David Boyle and his history. You know, I just think when it comes to him, unless this team shows that they're actually in the race, like in it, I don't necessarily think he goes out to do anything if they're close. I don't know if I see it as much. I think the only way he really goes out and adds, unless it's somebody he's going to have for a few years, is if they're actually in it, not just close.
So what do you think he should do?
I think you've got to let this play. I think you've got to let this play out. I think you have to let your team. Like, you've got a month now before the trade deadline. The trade deadline is a month tomorrow. I think what you do is you let your players decide for you. You see how the next month goes, and then you start to see, you know, what is the interest level on some of your players? How do you want to reshape your roster? You know, I know Ekholm's name has been out there. You know, there's not a lot of teams right now. He's a good player. I know that I think the thing is there's a lot of teams that can't handle that contract right now. I think what you're doing is you're deciding who's a Predator long-term. When we get better, who's part of this roster? And anyone who isn't that, I think you're looking out there and seeing what the market is for them.
So, Elliot, what you're saying is, in regards to that, is he should think more long-term than short-term, because I think fans around here are thinking more short-term. Hey, what can you do to advance us in the playoffs this year? And if he's thinking more long-term, then that may not sit well, considering what has happened and what the temperature is here with the fans in regards to the Predators. They want some instant success, but I understand the long-term play for a team like the Predators as well.
You know, Derek, I think you have to be realistic. Like to me, like the Predators, I think, I don't look at them and say this is a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And when I look at that, I say that's okay. Like sometimes you're going to be in a position where you can win, and sometimes you're not. A few years ago, you were in a position to win. Now you're not. So I think I don't think you should be making short-term moves that don't make any sense. Now, if he wants to try to give them a chance to make the playoffs, he doesn't have to give up a lot to add something that might give them a little bit of a burst or they might want to keep, I think that's okay. But I don't think you are moving your best assets now or your best pieces for something that's short-term. It doesn't make sense to me based on where the Predators are. You've got to be thinking, okay, who's going to be here? Who's going to be part of this when we're ready to win the Stanley Cup? Because you're not at that point right now.
Elliot, looking at the short term, big injury with Vegas. Like right now, yeah, for Nashville, the short term is, let's say they pretty much stand pat, as you suggested. Yeah. I kind of see that as the thing. They don't have a ton of salary cap room. They've resisted trading their top picks the last few years, and they've got a decent farm system working right now. So let's just say you're going to roll and let your players decide. You got to pass two teams. I'm looking at Vegas now losing their captain, Mark Stone, and yeah, I'm looking at that as a team. Could you catch a team like that? I'm sure everybody in the West is kind of looking at what happens to Vegas now.
Yeah, I think Vegas is a really interesting one, because the other thing, too, for Vegas is I wonder about a mental thing with them. Remember last year, they were home and clear in January, and their injuries, they fell apart and they missed the playoffs, right? Like, they had a real disaster second half of the season. And I was watching them a couple weeks ago, and here they are in January again. They look like they're home and clear, and now they're starting to get some injuries, and they're starting to struggle. And I think on some level, they're probably sitting there and saying, oh, no, not this again. And you kind of go through that mental thing. So I think they should be better than that this year. They should be able to handle it. But I have watched them and wondered, are they falling apart there again and going and saying, oh, no, this is happening to us. So, yes, I agree. It's something to watch. But the other thing I think, guys, is that if Mark Stone's out for the rest of the regular season, and all they said was he's out indefinitely, they're going to be able to add into that salary spot, and they should be able to help themselves.
I look at another team in Los Angeles. They played five more games than the Predators. They just rolled through Nashville. Predators beat them 5-3. I think everybody knows what they need. They need a goalie. They couldn't hold a 4-1 lead against Carolina the other night. What are the prospects out there for L.A.? What do they have? Can they improve that position from now until the deadline?
I think they could. I think the biggest question is going to be, are they going to look for a goalie with term, or are they going to look for a goalie with rental? And I believe they want somebody with term. Like the two goalies that I really look at is the one in Arizona, Vemelka. He signed for two more years at a very reasonable number, but I think the price there is going to be very high. And the other guy I wonder about is Demko in Vancouver, who signed for three more years. But he's hurt right now and probably won't be back until the middle of February. I don't know if that allows you enough runway to make that kind of move. And that's going to be an expensive price, too. So I think now, and the other thing is, you know, they got a guy in the minors who's making $5 million right now. Can you find somebody who's willing to take him off your hands? Like, it's going to cost you to do that. So I do think they're looking at long-term solutions. I think that people are going to want a lot for those pieces.
Bo Horvat gets traded from Vancouver. He goes to the East. Evaluate that trade for me there, because I remember back talking to you in the summer when I was looking at the Vancouver situation with JT Miller, with Horvat, a bunch of guys that they needed to make some decisions on. They end up trading Horvat, who arguably is the best player among all of those guys they had made decisions on. So your thoughts on him going to the Islanders?
Well, I think that we kind of got a feeling, really, that it was not going to happen in Vancouver, that they'd made some other decisions. And, like, they made an offer, and they were very blunt about this. They made an offer that paid Horvat based on what he did before this season. They clearly felt that this was an outlier year, and they weren't going to bump up their offer based on, he's on pace for a career-high 52 goals. They weren't going to do that. And his position was, well, that's I'm not signing up for that. And I think we knew a couple of months ago that this was going to happen. I think the Islanders are one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. They have the second or third worst power play in the league. As I said, the guy's on pace to score 52 goals. He's got 11 power play goals. The Islanders leader has five. He's going to address a lot of things that have gone wrong in New York so far this year. I think they're going to end up signing him too, and I think he's going to be a really good player for them. I think the interesting thing is the gamble about the first-round draft pick. If the pick is in the top 12 this year, the Islanders have the choice not to give it to Vancouver and give it to them next year. But if they do that, there's no protections on it for next year. I'm very curious to see if the Islanders have a choice which way they're going to go, because I would not want to have an unprotected high pick. Like, look what happened to Florida this year. They have an unprotected number one pick going to Montreal, and they look like they've righted themselves. But for a while there, they were in the lottery, and that's a scary place to be.
You have any thoughts? I know that there's been some discussion this week. The television ratings in the States mm-hmm. are down some, and there have been some mm-hmm. good data points on, you know, ESPN put some games up against Sunday Night Football, which was bound to hurt them. TBS has got some blackout rules that are eliminating huge market teams that you don't get their audience in New York or Boston or Chicago, et cetera. So any thoughts on, because there's other theories too, like, hey, they need to be doing a better job here. Your thoughts?
Well, the one thing is, somebody who works in TV, I will always say that I think we could do a better job. Like, I don't think commentators are blameless in all this. And I say that as much about myself as anybody else. We can always be better. Like, in Canada, our streaming up there is pretty simple. You know, like, it's in one place, and I generally have a really easy time with it wherever I am in the country. I've heard in the States, as you said, it's a nightmare. I've been told that, and I hear it's a big problem. I think the NFL thing is a very fair comment. I would not want my games up against Sunday Night Football or anything like that. Football is king, and you're going to get destroyed. So I do think between streaming and scheduling and blackouts, I think it's a very big thing. You know, the other thing, though, I do think our league overall, it needs a little bit more hate and personality. The NFL is a completely different thing. It's a 17-game season. You get so few games that are meaningless. They are the king, and they will be the king for a long time. I really respect what they've done. But I think when you're in basketball and baseball and hockey, where you have long regular seasons, you better be able to show people that, oh, there's something I really want to tune in for here, whether it's the hate, whether it's the personality. And that's one thing I think we have to do a bit more of. And, you know, the other thing, too, is sometimes I think we have to take some more chances as announcers. We have to, you know, be willing to, I don't know, you don't have to be crazy or say or be hot take all the time. But I think you've got to kind of push each other's buttons, because I think the audience loves that. And I think we need to do that a little bit more.
Last one for you, Elliot. Willie and I were discussing this, the differences in the salary caps between the NFL and the NHL, how the NFL salary cap is so malleable. You can turn it into whatever. It doesn't really cap spending. The NHL cap salary cap, that is a cap, and you cannot go over it. Do you think it would benefit hockey to have some leeway with trades and with contracts to create a little bit more variety and buzz?
Carolyn, from your lips to God's ears, I am with that. I am with that all the time. You know, like, it'll never happen, not as long as Bettman's commissioner. He works for the owners, and he wanted cost certainty, and he's got it. But I've said many times I'd love to see a designated player exemption where, you know, maybe you could go over the cap with one player. I wish maybe it was more of a luxury tax than a salary cap. I am so in favor of all this. but it's like beating your head against that wall, and the wall is titled Bettman. It's not happening under his watch.
Elliot Friedman, we appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the sun out there.
I will. Thanks very much, guys. Have a great day.
Don't go back looking like a lobster, though, Elliot.
SPF 50.
I would consider that a success if I went back, because that will turn into a great tan eventually.
Okay, but just don't peel. I grew up in Florida. I saw a lot of people coming down from the north at spring break and looking seriously like lobsters when they went back home. It's not fun.
I don't peel, so I'm good.
Okay, good. Good skin tone.
All right, appreciate you, Elliot. We'll talk with you next week. All right, coming up next, we'll get into your phones, your thoughts, 615-737-1025, and some of our thoughts on what Elliot had to say as well. It's Caroline Billy Demas, 1025-1063 The Game.